Welcome back, and I mean welcome back to another installment of the New Era Flames podcast. It's been a while, but as always, I'm your boy Cam Elder at LZ14, two Z's on Twitter. And I know you've been missing this cat over here. It's the fish, Adam Clausen, at Adam Clausen on Twitter. My guy, the fish, how you been?
It's been good. It's been a while. It's been too long. I'm glad to be back.
Absolutely, brother. You know, I think our last episode was before the start of the playoffs. So obviously a lot of playoff hockey has happened. You know, there's been some news trickling for the teams who aren't involved. You know, the expansion draft's about to pop off here. We're just waiting for this final game to happen behind me. A little final sweep, it's looking like. How you been, Adam? What you been up to?
Well, I've just been lots of stuff, to be honest. It has been a little bit of a break here, but no, watching hockey, doing stuff around the house as per usual. Still waiting on the city to approve the backyard so we can get that done and enjoy it. Yeah, just watching all these sports. Basketball, I honestly dipped into heavy. It has been awesome. Just some of these stories. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, like when I'm honestly, if I don't want to watch the Canadians get swept by the Lightning, I've been watching all these basketball games, and some of the storylines in there can rival what's happened this year in the NHL playoffs. But man, have some superstars been shining? Some new kids too. The new kids on the block are all out, and they're firing hard. It's just lots of fun stuff to watch. How about yourself? What have you been up to, Cam?
I don't know, about the same. Been enjoying the weather here. A bit of a scorcher last week. We were like 43 straight all week last week. Biggest news for me happened off the ice, not outside the league, but the CFL, my guy, is back. August 4th, firing up. They're going to do the Grey Cup in, I believe, Hamilton in December. That's a bold move. We'll see how that pays off for him. But, yeah, I'm fired up on the CFL coming back. I'm a big CFL guy. Had to rep the hat for today's epi. Other than that, you know, just been watching the playoffs like yourself. I got caught into the NBA playoffs. Now, like, any playoff atmosphere can suck me in pretty good. But, you know, for me, and you could speak to this, you know, we work with quite a bit of guys who watch the NBA. So, like, for me, it's something to shoot the shit about. So, you know, I get sucked in just to have, you know, an opinion on all this stuff they're talking to me about. And I watched the Raptors run a couple years back. I was really big into it when Dirk was with the Mavs, because I'm a big Dirk Nowitzki guy. But since then, this has easily been the most invested into basketball I've been for a while. And I think it'll run through past these playoffs. I've kind of been sucked in pretty hard. But yeah, as for on the ice, you know, I've just been enjoying these playoffs. It's come down to Montreal and Tampa, and unfortunately for Montreal, Tampa's just too dang deep, but you know, we'll get there later in the thing. Yeah, looking at it, you know, since we've been on here, the world's happened, and our boy, big fan favorite Mangiapane, had a breakout per se in the world. You know, he put his name on the map, had to help really show up and turn that team around. And unfortunately for Dubé, he probably would have had a little bit of that same effect on the team, but he was injured and decided not to go. Did you get any chance to watch the Worlds, and did you see your guy Magny put on a show?
Well, I didn't get to watch very much of the Worlds, but, you know, I heard on social media all the rumblings and everything, and I luckily, when we started doing this podcast, I followed a couple Instagram accounts, and this one guy had screen recorded every single Mangiapane goal and thrown it up on Instagram. So I was there watching all of them happen, and man, did this guy ever change this team around, like from a dwindled team, 0-3, and then in comes Magny, a goal per game, 11 points in 7 games. Like, this guy's looking like prime Wayne Gretzky out there. This guy could rival prime Wayne Gretzky at this pace. He's just proving once again this love for this guy ain't fake. And to go back to the beginning of that 0-3 debacle that Canada had. There was that one game against Latvia where Canada was actually shut out by Matthijs Kivlenix, and unfortunately the news today, he's passed away. And from us here at the New Era Hockey family, we just want to offer all our condolences to the Kivlenix family. It's a tragic passing, very young, talented prospect, and we just wish the best for this family here going through this tough time. But on that note, Cam, did you see anything else throughout the World Juniors that caught your eye, or sorry, the World Championships that caught your eye?
Well, going back to Magny, for me, it was like, look, us here at Flames Nation, we knew this guy was always a workhorse, and like, he never took a shift off. He never took a line rush off. But, you know, this tournament, you really got to see, you know, Magny's got some elite skill levels in him, and they were really starting to shine through at the end of the Flames season here. And then he carried them all into the Worlds with the momentum he had. And, you know, I thought people were just starting to get a look at, like, that elite level skill that Mangiapane has. And then, in turn, you know, big contract talks coming up for him. And, you know, probably raises his stock a little bit. I think that's the number one contract to get done here. You'd love to sign this guy up for long term and, you know, try and base it off his NHL numbers and get a really sweet deal out of it. If you can lock him up for 4 or 5 years on a really decent number, that's just going to be huge for this team moving forward. Yeah. Huge. What do you think about the Magny contract talks? Where do you have him slotted in?
Well, we kind of already talked about it, but I personally would say, even just based on this performance that he put on at the Worlds, like that in itself, I think, is really enough to boost the contract in his favor. I would think it's a talking point that could definitely get him a little bit more cash if that's what he's looking for. If he's a team friendly guy, then it is what it is. It just shows that this guy's not just another role player. He's a legitimate top 25 winger in this league. He's the kid's a stud. Like, I wouldn't say he's snake bitten like throughout the year. Maybe in past seasons he's been a tad bit snake bitten, where he could have gotten a couple more goals to go in his way, and maybe a little bit this year, but he matched his exact same point total he had last year, a couple less games. But I think everything was just hitting perfect for him in that World Juniors. And like, you gotta be lucky to be good sometimes, right? So, and I think the luck was really on his side, and he's playing against good teams. Like, a lot of people don't realize that these are like the best players on the world all forming together to create this one beast of a team. And he's out there outperforming everyone on that team. So I think this guy has got a lot of potential for Magny's contract. I wouldn't have a number on it right now, but within the same area as where we are, maybe slightly a little bit more, like a rounded to a whole number type deal. What do you think about yourself seeing seeing as Montreal scored as well? That's pretty awesome. Maybe the brooms are going to get put back in the closet. Getting excited over here.
I mean, Tampa's mayor apparently might be getting her wish tonight, but, you know, that's a pretty bold bet. Yeah, looking back at Magny, I mean, right now he's making like 2.5, just shy of, so definitely in need of a raise. He's got one more year on that contract. I would preferably like to get it done this offseason, like bang out a long-term extension for the guy. You hit him at 5-6 mil, somewhere around there. Like, you look at the end of the season, I know the season for the Flames as a whole was pretty disastrous essentially, but you know, this guy, he was really just bringing the heat pretty much all season. But at the end of the year, when he got put on a line with Tkachuk and Lindholm, man, those guys were excelling. Like, that was some beautiful hockey to watch. And that was the thing this year about Magny too, like, he never got consistent chances in the top six. You know, he's battling with guys like Brett Ritchie and all these guys, these high skill level guys, you know, so sometimes it could be hard to make the top six here in Calgary. But you know, when he got his chances, he really made the most of them, and I think he should be a permanent top six winger. I mean, he should be glued to Johnny Gaudreau, honestly. Those two were getting it done together. You know, his battle level mixed with Johnny's vision and the way he can see the ice and just how Magny never takes the shift off. Like, that's also a pretty addictive feeling, per se, when you're playing with a guy like that. Like, if your winger, your other wingers out there, always giving 110%, you know, that kind of wears off on you. And you could see Johnny just push a little bit more effort into shifts to kind of match everything that Magny's giving up and down the ice. And, you know, I'm a big Magny guy. You're a huge Magny guy. And, my goal would be to lock him up for the long-term contract this year. And, you know, nothing too crazy, but however you got to get it done. I feel like this guy's just coming into his prime and starting to show his elite skill. So, yeah, that's a big one to get done. And for me, like, you know, these are just opinions, but I'm still huge on let's get a big contract done for Johnny this year too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Why let him walk into UFA? You sign him now, and if stuff isn't going to work out, maybe you trade him. He's already got a decent contract attached to him. For what he's making now and how he's produced, probably looking at a bit of a raise, which is fine for when you look at this guy's numbers. I know people like to knock on him, but they forget, you know, he's essentially a point-per-game guy. He's had a 99-point season. You know, 1 year left on his 6.75 contract, I do believe.
Yeah, I think so. And
you don't want to just let him walk for nothing. He's a UFA after this. So I would look at Johnny. You know, he's 27 now. He probably wants a good contract that's going to walk him into his twilight of his career. So you're probably looking at 6-7 years. You might have to flex that 8th bonus year as the team signing him to kind of get him to put the pen to paper. But if he wants anywhere around that 7-8 range, like, he's not out of my price field yet, not with what he produces. And, you know, he's still only 27. So, you know, the way players train and are these days, you probably got 5 years of pretty good hockey in Johnny. So if you went 7 years, you're only dealing with 2 bad years in his contract. So that's a big one for me that I want to get done, is Johnny and Magny, and then of course Dubé as well, but that should be a lot easier pen to paper to get done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, if I'd rank those three, I'd say the Dubé one would be the easiest, the Magny one, and then Johnny, because with Magny, like, I'm sitting here in my head and I'm flirting with like a 3.875 for like 5 years, or four mil for 5 to 6 years, and that's what I think that they might actually offer, and I think I'd be extremely happy with something like that for Magny.
Extremely. I'm pretty sure I just said I'd give him 5 to 6.
Yeah. And with that Johnny thing, I'm not comparing Nuge to Johnny, but Johnny said he, and we've said this before, he's not going to say that he wants to leave because he's still playing with his team, but the guy seems like he wants to stay here. And if he really thinks that there's something with this team that he could really take a pay cut, because what Nuge was looking for, something stupid like 7 years by $8 million, and like the only guy that's going to offer you that is Seattle Kraken Nuge. And then Nuge ends up taking that 5.125. Yeah, like you said, throwing some good bonus years where he's really getting paid nice. And I think that you could flirt at the idea is that you're not going to have to pay Johnny like a Austin Matthews type, like, stupid money deal.
I don't think you're getting him for less than what he's making now.
No, you won't get less. And I'm not saying that he's going to get that 5.125 range, but like, this guy could be making like $8 to $9 million right now, like, easily, and no one would bat an eye, right? So
he's by far your most naturally gifted weapon in this lineup, and has been for his career here in Calgary. Like, anyone deserves a pay raise. I mean, yeah. I know a lot of people are going to knock on his playoff performances, but, you know, there is 82 games of a regular season that you need to play before you can even think of playoffs. And, I mean, this guy's been worth every penny that the Flames have shelled out for him.
Yeah, exactly. And if he even did that on that $9 million contract, I'm sure he'd still be worth it, and Flames fans wouldn't even be batting an eye, because this is your guy's best player. And, like, these contracts that you guys are blessed with are – quite bonkers to even like consider as overpayment in any way. I'm not saying a lot of people think.
Bradley Trev has been a maestro working contracts.
Yeah, of course. And then with Dubé, like, this was Dubé's year, you know. This was, and same with Magny, like, this was Dubé's year to really, really show, like, okay, now I deserve the big money. And honestly, as a fan of, like, the Oilers, every time I watched this guy, he was scoring goals after goals or in the, like, in the play and everything. And I thought that this guy was on par with Magny. But now watching the Flames more closely, there's a pretty big difference. And I think you could get Dubé. It's going to have to be a bridge for Dubé because he's not going to want to lock in on something super, super small because he's going to back himself. So
I got, like, yeah. And you know, I can live, like, it's not like we're bridging everyone out here. So Tkachuk's bridge will end next year and then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But if he has another season like last season, I don't think we have to worry about a raise. And then, yeah, for Dubé, I mean, I'm totally okay with the kid betting on himself. I think he's performed when given the chance, for sure. And, I mean, he took a step forward this year. In my eyes, I think Lucic has been a great mentor for him. Mm-hmm. Kind of added that sandpaper to his game, gave him that confidence. You know, he is pretty naturally skifted or a naturally skilled and gifted player. So, I mean, you know, this guy could have a high ceiling as well. He was pretty highly touted as a prospect. And I think that's a pretty easy bridge for the Flames. You get her done and you let the player bet on himself. And in a couple of years, you know, we'll have more contracts coming off the books, some more money freed up. It won't be an issue to sign him. And, I mean, we got that new arena coming. We're going to need a highly competitive team here. That new arena, the ownership's going to want playoff dollars and revenue coming in. So they're going to be taken or want to be taken long runs soon as that new arena opens up. So Dubé will be a part of that moving forward with his age.
You might be able to look at Dubé having to sit out the Worlds as a positive for contract talks. Cause if this guy blew up like Magny did, then he could, like I said, it's not going to take over your entire contract, but it shows that this guy's capable of doing these type of things on your average night. Maybe he's just not, like, snake bitten pretty much, I guess. But, like, yeah, it's really good for Calgary in their contract talks having him sit that out as well. So that's leverage for Calgary, whereas in the Magny talks they now have less leverage because this guy deserves more money. So you get, and then you got to give somewhere, right? So
absolutely. And then, you know, another thing I wanted to touch on, there's been, you know, like with any season where it's a little bit disappointing and things don't go your way, the team underperforms, whatever reason the fan base wants to, the trade rumors that get stirred up because of said failures. Every team goes through them. Every player goes through them. You have them. I think they've been fizzling down here for the Flames a bit. You know, Johnny and Tkachuk's names have been thrown out all offseason, which to me just blows my mind. Like, these are hands down your two best players and you're trying to trade them off for nothing and just call it a wash because of one wonky COVID-filled season. Like, not only do these guys not perform to your expectations, but neither did anyone on the roster apparently. So if that's your opinion of them and you're trying to trade them, why don't you just trade the whole team, or you could trade in the Flame and seat off your chest and go pick up a new jersey, any sport check or game on sports you'd like, because it's just not happening here. As for the Jack Eichel talks, I mean, I'm okay with seeing Monahan go. Like, if there's a trade, Monahan, a top A prospect, and a first, one of our first, two of our first, I'm okay with that. I mean, Jack Eichel is absolutely elite. And losing a guy like Monahan, Zari, two firsts, I would absolutely be able to live with that. To bring Jack Eichel over here to center Magny and Johnny Gaudreau, absolutely.
Ooh,
there's things I give up for Jack Eichel. They just don't start with Johnny Hockey, and they don't start with Matthew Tkachuk.
Mm-hmm.
That's my two cents on that.
No, like we were saying, now that the season's over and they're not playing and they're not underperforming, no rumors, nothing about Chucky, nothing about Johnny. Like, there's been more things about Chucky openly coming out and saying, I never said that I wanted to leave this team, I'm not being traded from this team, than there has been trade rumors now, which is good for the organization. Cause like we've said and beaten into this podcast, he's the next captain, and in our opinion, his captaincy should come right after the expansion draft. But if the stars align, but it doesn't always mean that's going to happen. But
it is what it is. The rumors are rumors, right? But it blows my mind. And I guess for the first time in a little bit, well, I guess first round playoff exits are disappointing, but a season like this where we're in that all Canadian division and you're seeing what Montreal is doing right now, the team you were chasing essentially for the last month, you know, everyone likes to wonder the what ifs. I'm not one of those what if guys, like we didn't make it. But yeah, I don't even know where I was going with that one.
Well, the team was
sometimes built. It just boils my blood.
Well, yeah, the team was built around they're built pretty similar to Montreal, not like a run and gun like Edmonton or true. Toronto.
They're not going to blow your doors off with the offense. They got the steady back end. They got a bunch of lockdown defensemen.
Yeah, like everyone said, they walk into playing Montreal like this is going to be a cakewalk, and they underestimate them, and then boom, you're done. I don't remember exactly who said it. It might have been Riley Smith on the Golden Knights, or Stone, or someone on the Knights, and they're just like, you know what? I'm gonna be honest. We all totally underestimated this team, and that's why we're in this spot now. You can never, ever, ever do that, because there they are. They're about to get swept in the Stanley Cup Final. The one team that's not underestimating. The one team that's gonna play with all their extra $18 million in cap. They're going to put it all on the line because they want to win. They're the team that wants it the most now. So,
well, yeah, you also don't want to be the team that was $18 million over cap and lose. So
that's
pressure's
true.
Probably on them from that perspective. But I mean, even if they did take Montreal lightly, they're too deep for it to matter.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, it's just been stupid playoffs by a couple of players on each line, like your Perrys and your Caulfields and Armia. Okay, well, I throw you Kucherov, point Stamkos, boom, there you go. I'll take those three over those three every single day of the week.
It's unreal, but you know what, enjoy it while it lasts, right? Like, enjoy watching this great team. Like, great teams like this also don't come around all the time, so you want to enjoy the greatness too. And I mean, it's not like they're beating on the Calgary Flames, so have at it. I mean, from the start, I didn't want Montreal to win this series. I'm not a big believer in the, keep the cup out of Canada, because every year, doesn't matter which team wins it, three-quarter of that roster is bringing the cup back to Canada anyway, so it's not like we're missing out on the cup. And at the end of the day, if any Canadian team's going to break the streak, I want it to be the Flames, so go Tampa.
Fair enough, yeah. Yeah, the Blues won. It came back to hear Jay Bomeister and Colton Parenko. So that's two guys on.
Oh, lots. There's always lots.
On the Blues, like, yeah.
It's a Canadian game. No matter which team wins, a three-quarter of that roster is probably bringing the cup back to Canada. So the cup's never actually been kept out of Canada, but I've never been a big one about that argument. So I've been Tampa this whole series. I was hoping for a little bit more competitive series, but they're just too deep.
It wasn't.
But after the series wraps up, there is the expansion draft. So some wheels have been going, you know, there's a lot of talk. Are you comfortable not protecting Geo? Should it be Tanev or Geo? I believe we've touched on it before, but I do want to touch on it again, because, you know, opinions can change. It's been a couple weeks. For me, myself, it's still a no-brainer. And I get the heart side of it. Geo's our captain. He's had great years here. He's loved by everyone, does all the stuff in the community. Great guy, great leader, great character on off the ice. I get all that. But at the end of the day, this is a business, and this has to be a business decision. And Geo, for what he makes, what his age is, and the pace at which he's starting to slow down, he can't give you top minutes consistently anymore. He's getting torched when you try that with him. He's not getting younger. On the flip side, when you look at what Tanev's giving you, what he brings to the locker room, he's a great locker room guy, just like Gio, so you're not losing nothing there. He's making less. He's just an absolute shutdown defenseman. Anyone on our blue line could play with this guy, and their games get stepped up instead of stepped on. So for me, it's easy. You protect Tanev, expose Gio. I said it from the start. I'm still saying it now. It's really not a debate for me. It's more so like a, excuse me, tearing on your heartstrings debate, I guess, if you're just too soft to make the business decision to let Gio go. But it's unfortunate. But, hey, Gio will have a great time in Seattle. He'll get to lead a great young team, be a real character guy there. Great character to start a franchise around and stuff just for the community and to embed hockey into Seattle. So, for me, as a business decision, still protect Tanev. See you, Gio.
Yeah, we're about at the same on the same wavelength, but it's always good to bring these things back up because yeah, that expansion draft's coming up real soon here. So, no, I totally agree. Like to get that contract off the books because it may not have looked like a bad contract this year. Who knows what it's gonna be looking like? You know.
It's not terrible. He's got one more year left at 6.75 million, and then he's a UFA. So, I mean, that's another good thing for Seattle, too. He's protected. It's just the spend. You know, this is a great chance to get rid of him, I guess. And it's not even a guarantee that Seattle's going to take him. No. But, I mean, if you expose Tanev, he's probably gone.
Oh, that would be a no-brainer.
Absolutely, no. And you don't want to lose Tanev. So you take your chances. And maybe Shillington's more attractive to Seattle than Giordano. But it depends on what gets exposed out there, too. Because, for example, if Chara was exposed, like they're not going to take Chara and Gio because they kind of play that same role. Chara's just cheaper and has had more career success. But I think Gio can play at a higher level at this point of his career. Definitely play more minutes. Not too many minutes, but more minutes. But, you know, like if Gio's like your leader guy you have stapled on that cracker or that crack in draft board, you know, they take Gio and then they're not taking the Chars and stuff of the world. But if they're taking like the Chars or whoever these leadership guys, they might not go for Gio. They probably go for Shillington because he's that young, high ceiling kind of prospect defenseman that you'd like to start getting a young core into your franchise as an upstart franchise. So, there's no even guarantee that Gio goes, but if he's there and exposed, I would imagine Seattle will be picking him up. And even location and geography-wise, it's probably an easy move for Gio, and he'd be happy to do it, I guess, after he gets over the, you know, coming to an end career here in Calgary and just couldn't push the team over the hump, which I'm sure as a personal pride thing for a leader on any team is a bit of a shot to the gut. As far as the expansion draft, yeah, I'm still standing power. I want Tanev to stay for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely going to come down to like what is the Kraken's top six look like, because Shillington is, like we've touched on before, he's a guy that is a fringe to be in that top six. Maybe on a lesser D, like Calgary's stacked on D, so it's a little tough for him to get in there. But are you wanting to have Ekholm, Spurgeon, Sergachev if he doesn't get protected for some reason, like all these D-men? There's so many D-men that are going to be like out there and available that if you're playing, and I know the Flames kind of are, but if you end up taking a player that's making 6.3 or 6.7, whatever he's making, if you take him and you just put him onto your third pairing, like is that really worth it? Or would you just like take that Shillington and say, you know what, you might get in. If this guy doesn't re-sign, then you're going to be our sixth man. You're going to be on that bottom pairing. So it's really – and I'm not a part of Seattle. And the reason why that I can't 100% be like, this is the only reason, that this is the only thing they could do, is because Vegas, some of these picks that Vegas did, no idea. No one could have seen these picks coming. And – it worked. No one knows what these people are doing behind the scenes. Like, okay, I'll take Lucic if you give me Backlund or something like that. You know, I'll take those two big contracts off you, and then boom, easy get Jack Eichel in. You can sign Dougie Hamilton, bring him home, bring him back.
I don't think we're looking to do that.
All these things can happen, and I know Seattle kind of already came out and said that they won't do it as much as Vegas did. Well, sorry, the teams won't do it as much as they did with Vegas. But it can still happen. Like, there's teams that might be willing to give things up for contracts, and there's some contracts that could be given away on this team. There's contracts like that on every team, but that's the exciting part for me. Like some of these behind the scenes things that no one could have expected. These things can happen here in the next couple of weeks.
This expansion draft for some teams is a great opportunity just to get rid of a bad contract while giving up, you know, a pretty good blue chip prospect or player, roster player, but just really helps the team where they feel, you know, this is a great opportunity just to get this contract off for books and we can move forward, wipe our hands clean on the kind of deal. Now, the only thing with that is during the Vegas expansion draft, a lot of teams got bit by doing that. So I think a lot of teams this time around are a little bit more hesitant to be like, hey, take this bad contract. We'll throw you prospect A or prospect B in a trade or whatnot. So I don't think there will be a lot of teams doing that this time around just because a lot of them got bit by it in the Vegas expansion draft. So, yeah, I mean, only a couple weeks to go and we'll get to see and then we'll be able to talk about it, what happens, and be able to actually put eyes on a actual set-in-stone Seattle Kraken roster. But, hey, since the last time we had an episode, there's been a whole bunch of playoffs coming and going, so I would like to talk some playoffs. Now, for me, I got my Stanley Cup real early in the playoffs. I mean, real, real early. It only took like 7 days for me to see my cup.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Coming out of the first round, the dominant, the regular season just destroyers, the executioners, if you will. The Edmonton Oilers go out without a peep. Another sweep for them. Last year, they don't make it out of into the bubble officially. This year, they get swept first round. You know, a great look for a team that's now got back-to-back Hart Trophy winners. Can't even win a playoff game with those guys, but, you know, that was kind of my Stanley Cup off the jump. You had your typical Toronto choke job. Always great to watch that, and, you know, Montreal's really capitalized and ran with that. Then you go to the second round, Montreal then sweeps the Jets, and they ended up winning, like, 7 straight games or something. They handle Vegas. You know, and then on the east side, I thought, you know, this Tampa team, they're deep, and we all know it. And I think a lot of the teams that they've played, Carolina was one especially. I thought Carolina played awesome that series, absolutely awesome. They couldn't step up anymore. It's just at the end of the day, this Tampa team's been way too deep. We've seen it all run. Like, these guys really haven't had too much trouble handling anyone. I mean, they went through some really good opponents and teams that were built for the playoffs, were amped up for them. They took out Florida. They took out Carolina. They take out Boston. You know, Boston's a perennial Eastern representer for these last, you know, 7-8 years. And, you know, they're making short work of Montreal, and they're making Carey Price, who is having a hell of a run, kind of look human again. So I thought these playoffs have been awesome. But for me, I mean, the Stanley Cup was awarded like 7 days into this thing. So the rest has just been the cherry on top for this guy. But, you know, how are you doing, Adam? I know some people were kind of thinking maybe we didn't do an episode for a while because you went MIA and that could have been the point. We don't know. But how are you handling things over there? How have the playoffs treated you?
Very, very harshly. Oh, my God, man. Game 4, I didn't even give a crap if we lost the series 4-1. I just wanted to stop the sweep, man. I stayed up every single day to watch all these games, and man, was it not worth it. It was such a depressing series to watch, and it really, really shot me in the foot, and that's why I'm watching basketball now. I still watch the NHL ones, and I really was amazed by the Minnesota Wild. Do you imagine the Minnesota Wild and the Montreal Canadiens in the finals for that conference? That Minnesota team, I think if they would have beaten Vegas, they would have kept rolling. They are such a good story. Like, what a team to come out of nowhere, really.
Cam Talbot, great performance again. You know, this guy's starting to show he's a playoff performer. Like, he had another great run.
Yeah, and Jared Spurgeon, he's an Edmonton or Edmonton native, I believe. So that's cool to have him represent us there. Although they did lose, it really looked like they were going to win that one. My team didn't get swept in the first round. They actually beat Nashville in the first round, and then went on to play probably the best series of the whole entire playoffs, I thought personally, apart from how fiery the Florida and Tampa was at the beginning. I really, really enjoyed watching the Lightning and Carolina. It was very disheartening to watch all these close games. Like, you can't get closer than that. And the thing is, Carolina's completely cap compliant, and Dougie Hamilton said it best. Hey, all that happened is we lost to a team with 18 mil more cap than us. All the players know it. I all around great playoffs. Like, Islanders again showing that, like, defense wins championships, man. Like, this team is so boring, and they always are constantly getting so far in the playoffs. No one has them going deep, right? So,
oh yeah. So sorry to run that back. I said they took out Boston. Islanders took out Boston. Then Tampa took out the Islanders.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Like, and I mean, the Islanders gave them a run too, but.
Oh,
the last
yeah.
couple of games, Tampa just turns the guns on, and it's just, yeah.
Yeah,
they can blow you up.
Yeah, when they get going, they get going. And like I said to a couple of buddies at work, I was like, you find me one single human on this planet that has a perfect bracket this year. I was like, there's no chance in hell. And if that guy tells you that he has a perfect bracket, you tell him he's a liar. Because there's
No way.
Unless
you're
a Habs fan.
Things, it's easy to pick. That's what I was going to say. The Tampa was easy to pick. So, you know, like, Habs fans could have brackets. I know in all my brackets, I take the Flames. I mean, I took them this year, and they weren't even in the playoffs. I had to hand write them in.
Yeah, no, it's been good playoffs. It's been exciting. It's good to I wouldn't say last year was lackluster, but such a weird, like, different change, in my opinion.
Just having fans, right, has added more to it, right? Like, these American games being sold out barns is just awesome to watch. But one of the questions that I'm starting to think has got to be circulating the hockey world or whatnot, like, I'm definitely getting is, you know, another dominant year and a dominant team in Colorado just coming up short again in the playoffs. Like, what are they missing to get pushed over the top? So they got the young stud defenseman in Cale Makar. They got one of the best players in the world in Nathan MacKinnon, who's built like a playoff horse. They've had solid goaltending between two goalies. You know, what is Colorado missing? Like, they're a pretty deep team themselves. They got a lot of great pieces. You know, is it addition by subtraction and maybe just getting rid of, unfortunately, a Nazem Kadri? Just, you know, this guy gets suspended every playoff. So at what point, yeah, I get it. You know, not everything's his fault, but, you know, he's out there making these plays, and it happens every playoffs. He gets maybe too intense, too aggressive, you know, and that starts to shadow his decision-making. And, you know, is that what kind of this year's edition of the Colorado Avalanche, is that what stopped them from making this run? Like, what are you seeing in Colorado? Because they were my pick to win it.
Yeah.
But another year where they looked dominant coming in this thing, play some great series. They started against Vegas great with a 7-1 whoop in there in game one. And then, you know, as all with every year, like, the wheels are just falling off this team. They just can't get over the hump. What are you seeing there?
Man, I can't even tell you what is wrong with this team, because there's nothing wrong with this team. If I was playing the video game, I don't think I could make a better team than Colorado, which is cap compliant. Like, Tampa Bay, take notes. Look at this team. This team, I had out of that side, if it wasn't Vegas, Colorado, and then, of course, Carolina or Tampa were my only two guys. Those were my four guys that I had going to the very end. But, man.
That hurt.
Man, like, and I know a lot of people do say Kadri, but how are you gonna blame it on a 3C that you've blown the whole entire series? You know, like, they have enough depth to replace him. I know they won't have a better player come in, but I can't put it all on Kadri, and I don't think he was worth that many games. Yeah, he might have made a difference, but dude, I can't even tell you. Like, their defense is perfect. I'm not even joking you. It's perfect. They have the best defenseman in the league in Cale Makar. They have my favorite, not really like an underdog, but like my favorite under the radar guy in Samuel Girard, who's another, he's my bootleg Cale Makar. So there you go. They have Ryan Graves, who he's been in like the top three for plus minus, like every year he's played in the league. He was like a plus 49 this year, something bonkers. He led the league, I'm pretty sure. Johnson's in there. He's kind of whatever, but like they have a perfect, like the most offensive, like perfect skating, goal scoring, pass making defenseman you can name on one side. And then on the other side, they have a 6'8" beast of a guy that does not let anything by him. He checks anything in his way. Plus minus is his favorite stat on the planet, and it's all the way down. And then their top six is impeccable for forwards, and then they even have Donskoy shooting the lights out. Like, dude, I can't even give you a suggestion to this to make this team make their run any deeper. Like, I don't have any suggestions for you. Trade for Jack Eichel, and then maybe you'll be able to. Who knows? There's like a Grubauer, Vezina candidate goalie. Like, this team was set up. And they blew it, and their time is gonna go. And you can't keep asking McKinnon to only make $6 million, because this guy watching the playoffs, my God, is this guy on a whole other level than everyone else. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Oh, he worked 12 plus.
Yeah, and did you see that one goal where he skated by and he looked like he was gliding? Like, this kid is.
He's got
insane.
Some big, strong legs, man. Power strides. Like, he only has to take half the strides of most guys in the NHL to get up to their speed with the power he uses. But one more question I wanted to ask you about the playoffs before we get into the Battle of Alberta question of the week. The Shifley hit on Evans. What was your take on that?
Well, I thought it was dirty in the eyes that the guy's just doing it because he's salty. I understand it's a professional sport, and I understand you play hard all the time. You fucking should skate to the bench 110%. I agree with that 100%. I've had it screamed to me. I had to scream it to my teammates. You go to the bench as fast as you would go play defense, or as fast as you would go up and play offense to score a goal. Same thing in a wide open empty net wraparound. If you get clobbered, you get clobbered. But I just think it was all on the fact that he's like, wow, I'm really getting about to get swept by the Montreal Canadiens. I'm going to end this man's whole career. So that's the only
thing. Yeah, but at the point of the hit, wasn't that hit in game one?
It was, because there was a 3-game suspension, and he actually carries over till next year, one game, because they weren't there enough. No, it was game two then, because he got a 3-game suspension. His one of his games carries over to next season, which is even bigger insult to injury for the Jets. But it's one game, but it's something like that. I just thought it was kind of a salty move. I get play your balls off every time you're on the ice. Don't expect like Buddy to lay off on an empty net, especially in the playoffs. But I just thought it was a retaliation thing out of saltiness. What do you think?
I'm kind of the other way about it, honestly. Like you said, you play hard. I mean, to just draw a picture to start, I mean, this is the playoffs, and we talk about it all year. The intensity gets ramped up. Checks get finished. Hits get harder. Guys play harder. Guys skate harder. You know, and on that play, Scheifele's back-checking his balls off to get it. Now, Evans, he's probably a role player. He's never had a big moment in his hockey career. He sees a wide open net in the Stanley Cup playoffs, no one in front of him. You know, this guy doesn't take a look around to see what's happening around him. He just sees the Golden Gates in front of him. He's going to bury the Winnipeg Jets here in game one or two, whenever it was, you know, and get to celebrate a big Stanley Cup goal. So in this process of him being tunnel vision to the puck and to the net, you know, it's the old adage, kids, you know, head on a swivel. This guy never poked his head up once to take a look what was happening. And unfortunately for him, what was happening was Mark Scheifele was tracking and back-checking on him. And, I mean, he finishes the check. And people want to say, oh, he didn't make a play for a puck. Well, in real time, that play happens pretty fast. And, you know, you're flying fast. You take the hit. You take the man with the puck. His stick's there. It doesn't hit the puck, so there's no play on the puck. But he takes the body in what essentially is a clean hit. The guy never took a stride from the blue end. He was just moving fast. He was back-checking fast. And, you know, I feel a little bit of the onus is on Evans for not, you know, head on a swivel. And maybe that's just the old school in me. But, you know, he sees his golden gates and he goes for it without, you know, being aware of what's on the ice and what's happening to him. And that's a part of hockey. And for Scheifele's case, you know, he probably is aware of all this. And at the time, maybe not the best decision to finish the hit, but it's still at the end of the day, it's clean. This is the playoffs. You talk about it all year. Checks are getting finished. Well, there's a guy who back-checked hard and finished the check. So my idea about the suspension was too much, but I could just be old school.
Yeah. Good on Scheifele, though. Probably the biggest rock of a hit that he's thrown in his whole entire career as well. That was pretty big hit. I also wanted to ask you if you've heard how much the tickets are for Canadians games.
Aren't they like 4,500 or something?
Well, I've seen packages $11,000 for two seats. So you're looking at to get a playoff finals experience cheaper than that. You could fly to Tampa Bay, watch game one and two in Tampa, and fly back home to Montreal instead of watching one Montreal home game. That's how much these guys are charging for the game, which is crazy. But good on the fans who have the money.
Oh yeah, I mean there's always gonna be fans. My only thing, like, even if I had the money, like, yeah, get into that arena and drink my $12 beers and party with 2,500 people, or if you've been watching the cameras in Montreal, I can get outside the arena for, I'm guessing, free, party with the hundred thousands of crazy fans drinking cheaper beer and probably having a way more better time. So, you know, I'd be okay just being outside the arena too. I wouldn't have to get in there. I'd save my 11 grand and, you know, I'd do $1,000 raffle out there with the people.
Flip the cop car and the way you go. That much
money. Yeah. But, you know, I mentioned it. We do got a Battle of Alberta question of the week installment to get to. So let's dive into it. The Battle of Alberta question of the week, Edmonton, Calgary. Who's more under the gun as a general manager to get things done, get their team improved this offseason? Holland or Trev? We'll start with you, Fish, as the Oilers representative. Who do you believe is more under the gun and has more pressure to get some offseason moves done and get their team fixed in a jiffy? What you got?
Okay, so if it's strictly this year, like this offseason is the big one, I'm going to say – I got to say Holland, because like you've been beating this into the podcast, McDavid's been here for so long and this guy, we're finally getting some terrible contracts off the books and we've gotten a friendly contract from Nuge and he's cut off $3 million off that $8 million he originally wanted to stay with us. And we gave him more term, but, yeah, this guy needs to find a winger, another defenseman, a goalie, and I'm looking at Driedger from Florida. I would love to have him on this team. I really think this is Holland's big offseason. I pray to God he doesn't trade for Duncan Keith, but it's looking more and more like some stupid trade is going to go through. And I just pray that somehow he packages Kane and Kubalik and all these guys in there to dump off the Neal and Koskinen. And it's like best case scenario, you bring in like a Coleman or a Palat on the wing, maybe sneak in a Danault, then get Dougie Hamilton and Driedger, and then you're looking good. Holland, if you heard me, if you can pull that, I will praise Ken Holland for forever. I really think that this guy's it's make or break. Like, the fan base is angry that we're not making the playoffs now, and I really think after being swept,
and then you made it.
If we come back and do perform exactly the same, if I was playing Edmonton, like, would I want to be there right now? Well, yeah, if I was playing at Edmonton, would I want to play there right now if nothing's happening, especially when I got all this cap coming off the books? I get that Duncan Keith could be a leader, but he's not a leader for $6 million a year that I want to have on the team. This guy has literally the worst analytics in the whole entire, in the whole entirety of the NHL. He's one of the worst guys for you advanced analytics geeks out there. Just look into it and tell me that, that you would want a Duncan Keith on your team. I think on the other side, I think that Trev isn't, it's coming, he's coming up on like really needing to have an amazing offseason. This season, I don't think so. Just because of the underperformance from the team all around personally, I think that he has a little bit more leeway in the fact that I think he can slide through this offseason, maybe make a couple of deals. If he gets that Jack Eichel deal off for something nice, then he's laughing. He's in the good books 100%. But I think if the same thing happens this upcoming year that happened this year and everyone underperforms, then that next year is going to be when Trev is really under the gun. And that's what I, that's where I kind of was taking this, that Holland is this year, Trev's next year, big time. And I don't even, I can't even, I don't even think I'd put Holland anywhere close to what Trev's going to have to deal with next year if the same thing happens to the Flames as it did this year. So it's really Edmonton this year, Flames next year. What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, something along those lines. I mean, I do think it'll be Holland under the gun more than Trev for this year's offseason. I mean, doesn't mean Trev gets a off-the-hook free pass, hall pass by any means. He's got some big things to do with an underperforming team. I mean, look, on paper, when you look at Calgary's roster, you, this team should clap. Like, this is a well-put-together team. There's good contracts throughout, there's leadership, there's the agitators, there's everything you need. There's the workhorses, there's great goaltending, there's a solid decor. So on paper, you know, Trev has put together a pretty fairly good roster. Just this year, for whatever reasons, I do believe they underperformed and didn't get the results that any of us expected. With that being said, you know, there is a big fish in Jack Eichel floating around, and the trade talks are out there. They're very public. And I think Trev needs to be in on this hard. Now, I said it earlier in the show, you know, if Monahan, Zari, and two firsts, something like that would get it done, you pull that trigger. You pull that trigger. You sign that guy long-term. There's your set. There's your elite 1C for Johnny and Magny. Then you got Lindy on the second line with Tkachuk and Dubé. Like, bringing Eichel over for the right price just would fix so many problems in Calgary. Johnny would probably love it, having another fellow American elite player to play with. Like, I mean, this guy's elite, and the Battle of Alberta would just be stepped up another level. On the flip side, to your touch with Kenny Holland, it's no secret that, you know, I think the Oilers as a franchise have been failing for the last 10 years. And even though the league will give them all these first overall picks and all these gifts and generational talents, like, they still can't get anything right. You know, the money's coming off some the books here this year for Kenny Holland, and, you know, he's finally gonna have a chance to make his moves and all this jazz. So, like, let's see what you got. You know, he starts great with the Nuge contract. I thought the five and change for 8 years is pretty great. And if I'm Edmonton or Edmonton hopeful, I'm not even worried about the last 5 years of a contract. Like, my focus would be these 3 years. Like, as a franchise, we need to win a cup in these 3 years with McDavid and Draisaitl. So, you know what, if we have some ugly contracts on the back end of it, I'm sure you Oiler fans could live with it. If you win a cup in these next 3 years, who cares if you have 5 years of bad contracts to get through? You won a cup, you got to celebrate it. Not every team gets to do that, you know. And in my eyes, if Calgary won a cup, they could have 5 years of grace for me. I don't care what they do. They can play Brett Ritchie on the first line. They won a cup. So, you know, he starts off good with the new deal. Now, the Duncan Keith rumblings, you know, at first they're rumblings, but this one just won't go away. I really do believe it's going to happen. It's just for what and how everyone's looking at this trade now. Bringing in Duncan Keith and giving up an asset and Caleb Jones to bring him in just would mind boggle me. I mean, by all sounds of it, Duncan Keith expects to be playing top 4 minutes, and I don't think he's better than your top four here in Edmonton, so he shouldn't be playing those minutes. So if he gets here and he doesn't earn those minutes, do you just have a sour install of the old Duncan Keith in your locker room, doing the exact opposite of what you essentially brought him to do? And then on top of that, you give up an asset to bring him in. Like, there's got to be some salary retained here. There's got to be, there's just got to be something. And I guess it depends how you look at that trade. So if Allen pulls that off in the perspective that it's been built up to be right now, I mean, he's kind of one up good, one down bad in an off season where he can't have no down bad. You know, if he can use it, if he's got to give up Caleb Jones to swing the Koskinen contract over there or something, is that something Oiler fans could live with? Maybe. I mean, he's got a real problem, I feel like, in net. He's got to find a goalie here. There's a lot of free agents out there. I mean, yeah, good for you. You bet on Mike Smith last year, but you bet on him again this year. Like, man, and going into a full 82-game, full travel schedule, like, you don't want to be betting on neither of those goalies. So you got lucky last year not doing anything with the goaltending. He's got to do something this year with goaltending. Yeah. You know, you guys are probably going to see Barry walk. You got to replace that. You need to sign Larson. Nuge got done. You know, there's a bunch of hoosers in your bottom six.
Yeah, there's
nine that, you know, whatever. Like, they're not working. You need to get some guys in who play like Magny and never take a shift off.
Yeah.
So, Kenny Holland for sure. It's got a huge offseason from him. I mean, like, man, you got Draisaitl, you got McDavid, two of the absolute best players right now on the planet, back-to-back Hart Trophy winners. McDavid's been here for however many years, and, like, this guy's got no licks of playoff success. No licks. He's won one series in all time, and it's just a failure as a franchise to have all these young studs, all these high picks, and you still can't formulate an actual team because this is a team sport. This isn't basketball. David's not on the ice for three quarters of the game. It's just, to me, a bad look. And Ken Holland, hands have been tied, they say, because of the money. Well, a lot of these bad contracts and stuff are off this season, so it's supposed to be a big one for him. So,
yeah
like, for me, it's Kenny Holland for sure. He's got a big, and I don't have very much belief in him. I mean, I look at how he left Detroit. Detroit's struggling. That's because of him.
They have.
I'm not very high on Kenny Holland, but it is a big offseason for him.
Yeah, well, us as the Oilers fan base, we've been like, okay, you know what? We'll give Ken Holland a little bit of leeway, but this year was the year when he signed with us. He's like, okay, this is the year that stuff has to happen. Guys like Barry, I don't care if they walk. I'm really happy Nuge is staying. And Larson has been linked to go to Toronto, which I don't know how they're going to afford the guy. But if we don't sign Larson, because talks have gone a little stale, they're still out and about. But looks like he might be heading to Toronto. It's something that I've heard. You've lost Nygaard. Nygaard signed a super contract because Nygaard's the best Edmonton Oilers player that there was on the whole entire roster all year. He signed like a 6-year deal with his old team. Haas is gone as well. He's gone, but he has the option to re-sign back in. He has an option to go back to the NHL if he chooses. We're losing a lot of like little tiny pieces, and like you said, to trade away Caleb Jones for what, an aging Duncan Keith, like, that's kind of not
be more to it.
You know, it's, and not look, like
have you watched him play this year? I haven't went out of my way to watch any Chicago games, so all I can base it off is opinions. And you know, I'm an eye test guy, but the advanced analytics are a thing now, and when you look at them, they're as red as my hat.
Yeah, I would rather take
a look either.
I'd rather take St. Albert native Ian Mitchell, get him over here just so that he could come play for Edmonton. He's probably, honestly, analytics-wise, way better than Duncan Keith, and he'd be a better guy to have on the roster. And all the St. A guys would go over to watch these Edmonton games. But if I was – if okay, say you're the Edmonton – say you're Edmonton and I'm Chicago and I go, hey, Ken Holland, I might sign Seth Jones. You mind giving me Caleb Jones for free? Just because, how cool would it be to have both Jones brothers on D pairings? And then you go, yeah, that's a great idea. Give me your worst contract now that you guys have since Seabrook retired.
Oh, Duncan Keith, who won three cups like 10 years ago. Hell, he'll fit in real good with the jerseys we have hanging in the rafters that won five cups 30 years ago, because we can't stop talking about those either. So yeah, bring Duncan Keith over.
Exactly. This is how I'm expecting these combos to go, and it's just chewing me up.
There's just no way. There is no way Ken Holland could be thinking like that. Like, there's got to be salary retained. Maybe you guys are getting a piece coming back. Like, Duncan Keith on his own with that contract and how he's deteriorating, that can't be the move.
No, there's no
way. Especially if you're giving up the asset. Like, yeah, there's got to be some, but hey, I really do feel like we're going to see soon. But hey, to wrap it up, Kenny Holland is more under the gun than Trev this year. Trev's just got to sign Magny long-term, sign Johnny long-term, and trade for Jack Eichel. That's pretty easy.
On that Jack Eichel trade, I know you were mentioning Zari. I wanted to mention it kind of throughout the episode because I never really remembered to slip it in. I just remembered here. There's a guy, we've talked to him before, Ryan Francis. He's becoming one of Calgary's best prospects. This guy had a 6-point game after being traded to the St. John Sea Dogs. A hattie and 3 assists. He's sneaking up there and becoming one of these guys who looks like he's going to be a lock as a prospect for this team. So he might even be something to sweeten the pot if you don't want to lose that Zari. Like, he's honestly...
Oh, I'd be okay losing Zari for Jack Eichel. Like, a guy like Ryan Francis, like a diamond in the rough, like, he's one of those guys I kind of want to hold on to here. But, I mean, if that's the guy that swings the deal for Buffalo, swing it. I mean, this is Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
You know, next to McDavid, as generational as it gets, he's just been way down in Buffalo. And, you know, how many people are going out of their way to watch Buffalo games? So, you know, a lot of people just don't really realize the greatness that is Jack Eichel. And if you can swing that trade here in Calgary, you know, keep Johnny and Chucky out of your mouth and let's swing that deal.
He's not been able to flourish down there in Buffalo, which is where it's sad. He's got a lot of talent, and I'd love to see him come to Calgary and be that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, we're up against it. You know, it's been fun. It's been a little while, but we got back into it. Probably see us again here after the expansion draft. But for all of us here at the New Hockey or New Era Flames Network, I'm your boy Cam Elder. That's the Fish. Y'all have a good one.
Peace out, folks.